Listen, if you appreciate Wayne and the elders here at University and all the members who are working so very hard to put this on, please say amen.
Amen.
Absolutely. You feel the same way I do. He is a tremendous friend and a great confidant, and it's a true joy to be able to be with him in this area, and I know he is doing marvelous things for the community here in San Marcos as well as the kingdom of God over the world. He has a lot more confidence in me than I do in myself. I'm just going to be honest with you. When it comes to this particular topic, I feel very, very humbled. I think about those who are on this platform, about those who could do probably a much, much greater job than I do. And there are going to be other lessons throughout the week that are going to touch in one way or another, even on sermon planning. And so please understand that I do not consider myself an expert by any stretch of the imagination. I am simply a humble preacher with about 20 years of experience and one who has been blessed by having some great, great mentors along the way. And I'll mention that in just a moment. What is sermon planning? I wanted to do a PowerPoint, but I'm not very good at PowerPoint presentations anyway. So I did what I do feel I do best. I gave you an outline. So does everybody have an outline? Very, very good. Okay, you can use it or choose not to. I am a preacher primarily because of my father. My father, Glenn Wilcutt, is a preacher, and he instilled within me by his example and his own personal fidelity and faithfulness to the Lord. I watched him growing up, and I saw what there used to be years ago, and in some senses, I think there still is today, but I don't know if there is as much. A general love of preachers. I remember being in the homes of men like Andrew Connolly, Roy Deaver, Thomas Warren. I remember having some of the great preachers in our home for meals. And as a child, being taught to respect preachers. And I think we need to continue that type of legacy, if you will, Brother Moore spoke about earlier. And so I knew from an early age, through the influence of my father, that I wanted to be a preacher. I have been blessed, I've been so fortunate to be able to work alongside the late Bobby Duncan, who has been a tremendous role model for me. I think about the late Wendell Winkler and sitting at his feet at Faulkner University, along with Neil Pollard. And however, unlike Neil, I was not a Bible major. And my senior year, Brother Winkler brought me into his office and shook his finger at me and said, "If you do not become a Bible major, I'm going to disfellowship you." And I often look back through the stream of time, and he was kidding, of course, and I loved him so dearly. I did not do that. And it's one of those things Paul says, I cannot dwell upon. I have to forget those things that are behind. And I will not make any profit about thinking about the what ifs, because I knew my life would go in a different direction. But he still influenced me, and I took as many classes under him as possible. And then I think about such men like Tom Holland, who has really influenced me a lot just by the continual times and influences I've been able to sit at his feet, much of which I have learned about sermon planning actually comes from him. What is sermon planning? Planned preaching is the process of choosing in advance sermon topics, themes, subjects for the congregation where we labor over a given period of time according to a definite plan. Now, there's your long definition of sermon planning. Welcome to Sermon Planning 101. Before we actually talk about the how of sermon planning, I'd like to spend some time talking to you why. Why should I plan my sermons? And let me give you a few reasons. Number one, I should plan my sermons because it is an effective part of time management. Because it is an effective part of time management. As a preacher, I ought to be interested in time management. Listen, we can make all the sports analogies we wish to make, whether it be football, basketball, or even golf. Very, very, very often, it is easy to forget the fundamentals, and we'll never succeed. So let me remind you of what you already know, but so very often, we are prone, if we're not careful, to forget. Here it is, profound. Preachers preach. Get that? Preachers preach. The older I get, the more I realize that many complimentary things may be said about my ministry. But if the pulpit suffers, mark it down, the congregation will suffer as well. No matter how good of a job I may be doing in other areas, amongst the praying, promoting, planning, prompting, paying visits, pleading, peacemaking, and the penning of articles and manuscripts, above it all, we are to preach the Word. Let's be sure that we have our priorities right and in order. So therefore, we know the Lord's day comes around with an unrelenting frequency. It's an opportunity regularly for me as the man of God to stand in His pulpit and demonstrate the wisdom and the power of the cross. 1 Corinthians 1, 21 through 24. In other words, this is not to be a sideline activity amongst many other things that often and maybe frequently gets shuffled off to the side, relegated to hasty Saturday evening late night studies, or even worse, early Sunday morning cram sessions. I realize there are exceptions. I realize we all are going to have wearisome weeks where such may occur from time to time. But let us never fall into that haphazard habit. The members with whom we worship and serve are looking for us weekly with the question, is there a word from the Lord? Jeremiah 37, 17. And it is our top responsibility to be prepared. Not just to share our lives. Not just to share our passion. Not just to share our hearts and our souls. But to be prepared to share the word of the Lord. How do I prevent such from happening? Proper time management will help. And that's where sermon planning comes in. Number two, I ought to plan my sermons because I ought to always remember the power of preaching. The power of preaching. And that's going to take diligent planning. It was the Apostle Paul, certainly, that considered himself a debtor to humanity, Romans 1, 14 and 15. And he considered himself as such as he contemplated the power of preaching the gospel. Romans 1:16. Years ago, Tom Rainier conducted a church growth study. He concluded that once an unchurched person becomes interested in spiritual things, preaching was a decisive factor in bringing him or her into a specific church. In response to both questions that he asked, did the preacher and his preaching play a part in your coming to the church? And what factors led you to choosing this church? The responses indicated overwhelmingly that the preacher and his preaching were the most often mentioned answers. Please underscore the fact that the preacher was pivotal in influencing non-believers to Christ and his church. Every Lord's Day, we have an opportunity of having a non-Christian visitor literally hang on our every word. Does this not emphasize the importance of our task of preaching the gospel? It's not just non-believers. We know that even the members and even tiny tots are listening to us. People are going to talk about our sermons. People are going to re-listen to them via tapes and other forms of recorded media. People are going to post about them on Facebook. They're going to talk about them throughout the week with their coworkers and their friends. In other words, if preaching has this much influence and importance, which it does, I ought to give it my very best. It's not going to come with hasty cramming. It's going to take diligent study. My sermons ought not to be a collection of half-baked thoughts throughout the week, but a well-crafted oratory piece that will drip and ooze with the preparation we have given it throughout the week or possibly previous weeks and in prayer. Number three, I should plan my sermons so that I can adequately function in other works. I should plan my sermons so that I can be able to adequately function in the other important areas of my work. Please do not misunderstand me, brethren. I am not a proponent of the preacher who only locks himself in his office and does nothing but study, to the neglect of so many other important functions. His family, his brethren, his personal work. So to be able to make good time of these other very important things, properly planning my sermons will give me that opportunity to focus my study where it needs to be on Monday morning and still be able to properly plan the other things that are important throughout the week. Oh, we know. God sent His Son. His Son was a preacher. But His Son, the preacher, also maintained a social life. He preached before the masses, but He had private moments with individuals. Bible studies, personal communication, personal time in prayer to His Father, time to mentor others, and did not neglect His family or His brethren. We need to learn and practice the very important quality of balance. Balancing the time in my office and study with other things that are important as well. Number four, I ought to plan my sermons so that I can be assured of preaching the whole counsel of God. I ought to plan my sermon so that I can be sure that I am doing exactly what Paul said in Acts 20, 27, that I can declare unto you the whole counsel of God. Even if you choose not to plan your sermons, I hope that you keep a record, a written record of every sermon you preach and the date and the location. I've started that from day one of my located preaching. And I credit my father for that, who encouraged me and also kept that practice. And so even if you don't plan your sermons ahead, take the time to go back, bare minimum, and look over what you've preached in the past to see what subjects you're dealing with and what subjects you have not dealt with. And know that you can offer the kinds of lessons that touch upon the whole counsel of God. I submit to you that by properly planning our sermons, it will help us to resist preaching hobby subjects. We will not fall into the trap of preaching those biblical things, themes with which we are most familiar, to the detriment of other things. Because when such things as these happen, the pulpit and the congregation will soon suffer. Now, here are some reasons why. Let's now move into the how. How should I plan my sermons? Well, there are two questions to answer when it comes to sermon planning. Question number one, what unit of time will I determine? What unit of time will I determine? Will we cover? And then number two, what emphasis am I going to give to said determined time? Let's begin with the first one. Let's notice the unit of time that we will cover. And when it comes to sermon planning, there are roughly four alternatives that one might make. Billy Smith, the Dean of Biblical Studies at Freed Hardeman, preacher for the Henderson Church of Christ in Henderson, Tennessee, wrote an article on this very subject. And he mentioned the fact that the beginner might want to begin, number one, with a monthly plan. So the bare minimum would be to sit down at the beginning of the month and plan the month ahead, month to month. Now, with this being short, this would require less forethought and is less subject to change than longer durations. So if you're the novice and you simply want to kind of get your feet wet in sermon planning, maybe you'll want to begin by simply looking to 4 or at the most 5 weeks ahead and plan your sermons then. Number two, the second alternative would be moving into the quarterly plan. We think about the year divided into 4 quarters. And this may be the popular approach. Very often it can be patterned in conjunction with and right alongside our Bible class program, which very often is likewise divided into quarters. So it patterns itself after the 4 calendar seasons of the year, if you will. Spring, summer, winter, fall. Fall, winter. Number three, the third alternative is the biannual plan. The biannual plan. You plan 6 months, half a year. And this seems to be favored by those who think that it is impossible to project annually the needs of a congregation for an entire year. It's more accurate to be able to project a half year. Then number four, and finally, there is the annual approach, the annual plan, most of which you find written on this subject of sermon planning, much of which takes this particular alternative and recommends the annual planning. In his book, Planned Preaching, George Gibson calls it the grand architecture of the year. The entire year's worth of sermons is carefully crafted by the preacher, who undergirds his work with the columns of balance, support, and design. And so it's usually the case, this is what I have practiced, to sit down for one or two days in the month of December and look forward to the approaching year and to formulate a bird's eye view of what we will preach for the following year. For a little more than 10 years, this is what I have personally done. But let me mention a very practical point that needs to be understood no matter which alternative we choose. It is extremely important in planning sermons to be flexible. At the very bottom, I have a spreadsheet that I use, so I have all 52 weeks, Sunday morning and Sunday night, on one single page, and I have that for the entire year. But at the very bottom of the page, I have subject to change. When I give the list to my elders, I let them know, and they read it at the bottom, it is subject to change. Any sermon planning should not be so rigid as to not be subject to change, because the needs of the congregation may bring about a much-needed lesson at an opportune time, and we ought to be flexible no matter which alternative we choose. The second question is the emphasis given to this determined plan. How are we going to approach it? And there are several different ways, and I have actually used several of these ways. I usually begin, number one, with a simple blank calendar year. Begin to note some of the particular dates on the calendar and sermons that I desire. You begin noting, for example, next week, I believe, is Mother's Day. So it may be the case that you want to go ahead and plan Sunday morning, second Sunday of May, I want to do a sermon for mothers. Third Sunday in June, I want to have a sermon for fathers. Maybe in conjunction with such things as Valentine's Day, Independence Day, a sermon on freedom, Memorial Day, any such holiday, so to speak, you may want to begin by putting those into those slots. Then you look at, when is our vacation Bible school? When is our gospel meeting and or lectureship? Do we have any other special type occasions that would call for a specific sermon on that date? Maybe we have a mission emphasis Sunday or a homecoming day or any such days as these. You'll begin to fill those in to those gaps and plan accordingly. Then with all the remaining times, noting the times you have vacation time, times you're going to be gone for meetings, you'll begin to fill in the gaps based upon sermons on biblical subjects or different themes that you would like to preach. A whole smorgasbord of subjects that come as close to as possible to preaching on every biblical topic. Now here's what I have done and continue to do. I have planned 12 broad topics, and I'll give you these. You can write these maybe on the back of your paper if you'd like. These are the 12 that I formulate. They're mine. I've adapted them. You can feel free to adapt them yourself. 12 broad themes that come as close to possible as covering the broad array of biblical subjects. Here they are: church, number one; worship, number two; Christian living, what qualities are Christians to have in their life, number three; number four, Christian responsibility, what responsibilities do we have as Christians, that's number four; salvation, number five; eschatology, or heaven and hell, number six; modern ethics, any ethical subject, immodest apparel, drinking, homosexuality, any ethical question. Then I have God the Father. I have God the Son. I have God the Spirit. Three separate categories. And then I conclude with stewardship and family. With few exceptions, every biblical subject should be able to fall in one of those 12 categories. Now, I've simply brought for you an example of what I do. I have a vertical file on my desk. I have two of these, as they each hold six. And I have a manila folder with that very heading that I have and place them into each. So I have 12 files that I have on my desk. All of my sermons will fall, with few exceptions, into those 12 broad categories. And so as I begin to plan my particular sermon topics, I will do so with my plan throughout the year. And as I'm studying, and as I'm engaging in some of that outside reading that's very important that Rick mentioned in the previous hour, and as I come across bulletin articles or other types of things that may fit, hey, I remember I'm preaching a lesson on that in August. That will be useful. I take that and drop it in my file. And I drop it in my file. And as I study and study and study, and I come across things, hey, that would go great for that particular lesson, I drop it in my file. So that on Monday, when I know I'm ready to assemble my lesson, knowing what my topic is, I pull my file out and I'm ready to begin working on that particular lesson. In the 10 years I've done this, I've accumulated such a large enough file, I now even use this in the successive planning for the year ahead. And I sit down at December and I start pulling out these things that I had dropped in some sermon ideas on the church. And I'll thumb through the file and I'll say, oh, here's an idea I remember putting in there that would make a good sermon for the future. I'll plan that for next year. And so here is one of the ways of emphasizing sermon planning. Let me give you a second. A second way, a second emphasis, is preaching expositorially through a book. Preaching through a book. Andrew Blackwood, in his book, Preaching from the Bible, proposed an entire quarter be devoted to one book of the Bible. And so you may say, as you plan, whether it be a quarter in advance or even an entire year, I'm going to spend this amount of time, maybe it's a month, maybe it's a quarter, I'm going to devote myself to this book. And so that's the book. And I study and I read and I study and I read and I plan accordingly. This would appeal to those who enjoy and understand the importance of expository preaching. A third emphasis would be selection of specific themes. A selection of specific themes. Now, I've actually taken these 12 broad themes and then assigned them 1 month of the year. So that the month of January, I would develop a specific theme within the broad theme of worship. And every sermon Sunday morning in January will be on worship. February, it may be a different theme or a different topic. And you plan little mini themes or as broad themes as you like. The fourth alternative may be one broad yearly theme. As some congregations plan their work for the year, some elderships, along with their preachers, like to say, this year we will be focusing on this. The preacher may want to plan his sermons and say, my sermons will coincide with that for the year. For the year 2014, our theme will be to live as Christ. And so I'll plan my sermons to fit that theme for the year. Here are ways and emphases that you can give in planning your preaching. If you're not planning your sermons, I would like to encourage you to begin doing so. There are a lot of great and practical benefits to sermon planning. I promise that if you do, your year will go much smoother. It will be less stressful, and it will be more fulfilling. It will help you in your focus. You'll be able, first thing Monday morning, to hit the ground running, knowing what you're going to be preaching, and not have to struggle from week to week. What will I preach this week? It will help you in your time management, and you'll have better focus and attention upon which to study from the very first day. Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord, to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments, Ezra 7:10. Sermon planning is a wonderful aspect to preaching that allows us to prepare our hearts to be able to better and more effectively teach God's Word. As a result, preachers, we need to be diligent workers, even in our sermon planning, workers who are not ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth, 2 Timothy 2:15. And the congregation will benefit from well-prepared spiritual meals. They will be wholesome and warm.